Freddie Hubbard and some great sidemen with Crisis. It's from his 1966 album, Ready for Freddie. Hubbard, of course, on trumpet, Wayne Shorter on tenor sax, Bernard McKinney on euphonium. Euphonium. It's so great that you have a tune in relatively modern times with a euphonium in it. McCoy Tyner on piano, Art Davis on bass, and Elvin Jones on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and as promised, we are going back to our discussion of yesterday. Today is the fifth day since U.S., British, and French forces jointly conducted airstrikes on several sites in Syria that they allege produce chemical weapons that the regime of Bashar al-Assad uses on his enemies. And we have to ask some questions here, because unless I'm missing a whole lot, I don't hear very much of an uproar in Congress and of the individual political parties, despite the fact that the United States pretty much still has not removed itself from the brink of war. We have to ask these questions. In 6 days flat, well, even before the 6 days, this administration was able to just squelch any opposition to what clearly was a unilateral action on the part of President Trump. Did not discuss this with Congress, saw no need to talk to people before the airstrikes. And, well, it's a done deal. We move on. Meanwhile, of course, the United States has repeated yet for the umpteenth time this particular pattern, which it actually believes will just go away. People won't remember it. It's not going to be talked about. Not that it will increase animosity toward the United States in the eyes of the rest of the world. Oh, no, 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 no. It's our prerogative. This is the thinking. And we exercised it. End of story. We don't hear even from the bold leaders that we see propping up from time to time, talking about, you know, the leadership. What's wrong with the leadership? Nancy Pelosi has said nothing as a leader of the Democratic Party. We haven't heard anything from the Republican Party. We haven't heard anything from the independent parties that would suggest that this for them is a matter of grave concern. Not only the act of basically bombing another country and committing an act of war against another country, but bypassing altogether the systems of checks and balances that we supposedly have here in the United States as a hallmark of democracy. It's over, it's done with, get over it. That's the attitude. We did it, I did what I had to do, and it's done. Move on. What is your problem? So we were discussing yesterday this issue about how are we as the people, how are we to deal with these things What options do we have? Do we have any way at all of reining in anybody in Washington? We don't make foreign policy. They do. And in a situation, this is yet another situation in which procedures so blatantly were dismissed as being unimportant. This is not important. All the questions that would commonly apply suddenly don't apply. For example, a basic one, is it true that Assad was using these supposed sites as production hubs for chemical weapons? Has Assad been using these chemical weapons against his own people? I mean, these are very serious questions. They should be asked and answered. But in just 6 days, the whole debacle is buried. It's done. It's over. And we are supposed to shut up and go away and leave Donald Trump and his minions free to do whatever they wish to do. Now, the naive notion is that the world will forget about this, that there will be no repercussions at all. Nothing will happen. And if anything were to happen, we can beat that down too. And then people wonder, well, geez, what's all this terrorism? Why are people committing these acts in France and in Britain? These terrorist acts, it came out of nowhere. These are savages. They're doing things that have nothing to do with the fine, upstanding countries that they're attacking. They're just evil people. Nothing is related to these acts of so-called terrorism. They think people have short memories like they do. And that shows you how remote they are, even to the cultures that they deal with through diplomacy. They have no clue. And they don't intend to have any clue. The position seems to be, whatever it is they throw at us, we have something 10 times bigger. So we don't need to observe the rule of law. We don't need to behave like good citizens of the world community of nations. We don't need to observe the compact and the contract between the people and the government. We do whatever the heck we want to do. Well, yesterday, we got quite a bit of reaction, and we also had quite a few people who were not able to get in, and that was the point I made yesterday. Today, we'll be paying attention to those people who really did not get on yesterday. And so I'm encouraging you, it's not just for them, but it is, you know, this is preferential treatment, unapologetic preferential treatment. We need to hear what they have to say. So if you called in yesterday and were not able to get on the air, today is the day that you can make up for it. At 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. What we want to talk about, really, it's not just looking at how the government is behaving, but more importantly, we're looking at what we can, if we can do anything at all, what can we do? What do we do? What do we call upon those systems that we do support now? What do we call upon them to do? Or are we too joining the crowd of, well, they don't think it's important, so we won't think it's important? We have to see ourselves in the scheme of things as to where we are placed. Notice that word, we are placed, as opposed to where we choose to place ourselves. Right now, it looks like we are placed in the role of passive observers, and we're going along with the program. There is no mass outcry, although one is desperately needed. There's no legal action, although one is desperately needed. There is no call to the resolution of a constitutional impasse, although one is desperately needed. We have, in effect, yielded to the bully. We give him permission by our silence and by our inaction to continue to do this kind of crazy stuff. When it comes to war, you know he's not going. You know his sons are not going. It's other people's sons who will be going and daughters who will be going. He can avoid getting bombed by taking off in his private plane or his service plane. We don't have that luxury. And we have to continually make the point to the government, but mostly to ourselves. We are citizens. And we are supposed to insist on our rights as citizens to be a system of checks and balances against a renegade nation. I saw today, I think it was Brennan, who called the United States a cacistocracy. Well, he's late. I said that more than 2 years ago. Government by the worst possible elements of our society. And he's part of it. So let's get on with the calls here at 888-874-4888. If you called yesterday and weren't able to get on, please do. And we'll see to it that we hear what you have to say. Walter from Virginia, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Patrice. How are you?
Okay. It's you, Trees, by the way.
I meant you, Trees. Greetings to you and all listeners. Yeah, I did try to call yesterday and couldn't get through, but I just wanted to encourage your listeners, if they haven't done so already, to look at the book by Ralph Nader, Breaking Through Power. It's easier than we think. And in that book, he lays out a blueprint with concrete examples from other folks who have organized at a local level to work with this within the system to actually get or impact change. I can just say it draws from a lifetime of his wagering and winning David versus Goliath battles against corporations and the government. And he pretty much lays out a step-by-step way of dealing with particularly not just your municipal politicians, but our congressional representatives via town meetings and things of that nature, to start to not only get their attention, but also to get media attention at those events.
But, you know, this is not high on the list of priorities in a way. I understand and appreciate the fact that knowledge is good. If it helps you do what it is you want to do, it helps you to do it better. what we are observing is a crash in terms of the opposition. Nobody's opposing this man.
Well, absolutely. And I think you raised a very valid point in the sense that for those organizations or entities that allegedly represent our interests, they are definitely silent on these issues, particularly the Green Party, and need to be held to account.
Okay. Now let me ask you on a personal level, how do you feel about yourself right now as a citizen of a country that has behaved so badly and continues to behave so badly, and we seem unable to rein this renegade operation in?
Well, as I've mentioned on previous calls, I've already started to separate on various levels from the system. So I don't consider myself actually being a part of what's actually going on in this country. If I had my druthers and had the financial wherewithal, I would try to collect about a million signatures and put a huge one-page article in New York Times, letting anyone who would read that paper globally, letting them know that our government does not represent us.
What do you think should happen?
From the standpoint of the people addressing the issues, or from the standpoint of where our government should go?
Well, where we should, what are the pressure points? Do you think that we have lost it? Do you think that we are no longer really interested in putting ourselves out? The idea of being anti-war is passé. It's done. It's over with. We accept the power and authority of government, and we say nothing when a government does something this atrocious?
Yes and no. Yes, from the standpoint that I believe that many folks are concerned, and rightfully so, with their essential needs and don't have the time and the wherewithal to basically protest against the government, particularly when they feel that they can be outmanned and outgunned simply by large money interests. I also say no because there is a vocal minority who is out there protesting. However, it hasn't hit critical mass for them to be widely effective.
What if we were to, do you believe personally, do you believe that actions like this literally endanger us all, and therefore saying nothing and doing nothing gives license to Trump and his ilk to continue to do these things, and even worse?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think that, you know, by our absence of a type of large organization and massing in the streets, it gives a tacit approval to our government to keep doing what it's doing. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Walter, thank you for starting us off today. And you brought some pretty good points to the table, and I appreciate your participation. Thank you. Orlando, Tony, you're on the air.
Hi, Trees.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay.
That's great. I just wanted to make a point that I believe the best thing we can do, I mean, is take, like there's that one activist from the Parkland High School, David Hogg. I see that he's getting a lot of he's getting a lot of traction with the way he's approaching this problem we have in the United States, where politicians seem to be bought off by big money interest groups. And in this day and age with where we have social media, it seems like they got it pretty good. He just recently called for a boycott of Vanguard and BlackRock because they are some of the biggest shareholders of gun manufacturers. I think the same thing can be done when it comes to this military war complex, where you can boycott these manufacturers of these missiles and send a clear message that the American people are tired of this never-ending war. What do you think about that?
I want us to move, if you don't mind, I want us to move away from the theme of how to organize, because I'm supposing that we know how to organize in one way or the other. And this is the point that he makes, I think. The illustration here is perfect. Here's a young man who was among the survivors of a brutal act, the mass killing of students and some administrators at the high school in Parkland, Florida. He didn't go to organizing class. He didn't, study the fine art of mobilizing people. He, as an individual, decided that he was going to join with other individuals at the school who were very, very much affected by this awful situation, and they organized. They put, in fact, they put the older generations to shame.
Yes.
And that in a short time, they were able not only to organize people into action, but organize them into awareness, making them more and more conscious of the link between policy and the rights of the people. This is incredibly, incredibly strong in terms of what they have demonstrated. But so, what I want this to be, our conversation to be, is really to get us into asking the questions.
Yes.
What is going on here? Why are we not bothered by this? Why does it not bother us that a president who seeks no contact at all with Congress, who decides on his own that he's going to do this, the military, who had sworn up until recently that they will refuse to obey an illegal order, obviously didn't hold to that. And the consequences of this widespread dereliction of duty, including on our parts, is that we are going to see, there's no question about it, there's no doubt about it, we are going to see the consequences a little bit down the line.
Well, Nutrice, what we got to look at is what has this country managed to do in the past hundreds or if not more years of its existence? It's been able to write history as we know it. You know, whether it came from conquering this country to slavery to all the wars we see ourselves involved in today, they're a propaganda machine. They have created the narrative that the United States is the good guy, Russia is the bad guy, anybody that Russia allies themselves with is the bad guy. So anything they do that we don't like, we're allowed to act because the good guy needs to act. We're the police of the world. And Americans have bought into that, you know, and the ones that haven't, understand that we are not in control of that narrative. We face our, you know, we have our own personal issues here at home that, you know, we're battling a narrative that they've created for us. So we're not only battling that domestic narrative, but we also see this foreign narrative playing out. And it's kind of like a helpless situation that we find ourselves in. And the only way I see us breaking that is in their pockets. I mean, I'm just looking at what's being successful out there. And I see, because those Parkland students went to Tallahassee, and those politicians just told them, go home. They voted them down. But as soon as they started hitting them in their pockets, that's when, you know, things started changing. And I think, you know, and that's nothing new. That was done in the civil rights. You know, boycotting has been done in the past and has worked effectively. Unfortunately, I think Americans, we kind of shied away from boycotts, and, you know, we resort to more a vocal way of protesting. And I think we got to go back to that, you know, hit them where it hurts, and it's in their pockets.
I could appreciate your point, but I would ask you to consider this. This is a very political issue.
Yes.
That the government has failed. The government has committed, in my view, a wrongful act. The president has committed a wrongful act. The Senate and the Congress have allowed him to get away with it. The opposition parties are not opposing.
Correct.
And even the progressive parties that tell us how concerned they are about, you know, rights, individual rights, and the rights of countries and so forth, they've said nothing. When what they should have been calling for right now, I mean, today is day six, should we not have some hearings? Should we not have a blistering attack in Congress against this administration, that the administration flouted the rule of law, dismissed them as the representatives of the people, and the Constitution specifically imbued them with the power and the duty to be a check against madness in the White House. They didn't do it. They joined it, and now they're silent about it.
Because silent because they're part of it. You know, George Saddam Hussein. I mean, look at what happened. George Bush, Republican Party, took out the Iraqi government and that's what created this vacuum in the Middle East, with ISIS and Al Qaeda. They just filled that up and created all this chaos. How many people have died? And Iraq, Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with Osama bin Laden. And the Obama administration, instead of reversing course, trying to fix what was done, they continued the Bush doctrine. And this president that we have now supposedly said he wanted to get us out, and it seems like he's not able to do that. You know, there's a military complex that is determined to keep us in never-ending war. So we can't depend on the Democrat Party to tell Trump, hey, what you're doing is illegal, when, in fact, they are complicit in what's going on.
Right, but they are not standing up, and we are not compelling them to stand up. We're not making them accountable either. We're saying it's okay. Well, they're Democrats, and we prefer, if we had to choose between Republicans and Democrats, we like the Democrats. And that's supposed to be okay. So here we have a furtive moment in which there should have been and still should be a pitched battle over what this president is doing in the name of the entire country, putting everybody's lives on the line and doing so willy-nilly, whatever he feels like doing. And they cannot, it seems, put up a fight. So where does that leave us? Does it mean that we now undertake some kind of an audit, and we start taking out the Democrats too, because they're cowards.
That's
and they're not doing what they're supposed to do in terms of representing the people.
That's what needs to be called out. We need to be able to say, hey, if you're not going to do anything about it, then we're going to take you out as well. That's why I called a while back and I said we got to hold their feet to the fire, because if we don't like what's going on, and, you know, one thing is for them to say, yeah, they're against this or that, but they're not even saying that. So, and even if they did, you will have to still hold their feet to the fire, because, you know, making promises is one thing, and then, that, you know, following through is another thing. So, you know, I don't think we're that's why I say, you know, David Hogg is doing a really good job in what he's doing, because he's bringing out something that I think a lot of other activists should really look at and implement in their life, you know, because it's effective. It's something fresh and it's effective.
Well, thank you very much for your call today, Tony. I really do appreciate it. Let's go to Atlanta. Jay, you're on the air.
Hello,
you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Right, thank you. Let's see if I can make this brief. It seems like the questions you're asking don't seem to have an answer. Anytime someone says they have a solution or boycott or what have you, you have another point of view. So those are my point of views also, just basically boycott and contact your representatives, tell them your concerns. But outside of that, the only other thing that can be done is pick up guns or something like that, which is absurd, because that's a death sentence for a lot of people. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think needs to be done in response to this?
Well, I don't know that I have the answer of what needs to be done. I know that what we are not doing, and my role essentially is to confront people about that. We are not doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is to insist that we have the right to safeguard ourselves if it comes to that. I mean, if it comes to being as selfish as that, we have a right to safeguard ourselves from a government that is out of control. Mm-hmm. And here we have, within 6 days, the United States not only invaded a country and bombed sites in the country, but also did so under highly questionable pretexts. Not even the international regulatory agencies have been permitted to go there and look at what the scenario suggests to them, as yet another way of keeping a system of checks and balances alive at the international level. All these levels of checks and balances have failed, and this is not the first time. And the problem is that it is the people who again will reap the consequences. This is not going to be forgotten. These are not small incidences where you know, you can say, well, you know, we'll get over it. No. These are huge things, and it should bother us, because as a result of this kind of action, what are we likely to experience? You may be driving down the road, going along, minding your own business. Bombs start going off, and they're considered terrorism. And now we have the entire national apparatus trying to frame our mind that the U.S. actions has no connection at all with the future violence that we will be experiencing. And it's a done deal. We know that it's going to result in retribution. So the question I'm asking is, what has happened to us that we too are joining, you know, we're part of the crowd that is doing nothing about it?
Well,
not even affirming our rights.
The media has got a lot of people, got most of us, the media, and they're very adept at doing this sort of thing, just putting everybody to sleep. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to call my representatives. That's about all I can think to do in regard to this. Stop making calls to representatives and saying this is my concern. Outside of that, I don't know anything else that we can do, that I can do.
Well, I think one of the things that we should do is publicly shame these parties that we so faithfully support. The Democratic Party hasn't done anything. You know, what is Bernie Sanders' position? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't heard him say anything.
All right. What is the Green Party's position? The declaration by the actions of the president, a declaration of war. And we have had acts of war committed. And therefore, the United States as an entire nation can now legally be said to be the aggressor here.
Right.
Okay. In matters of war, if a country feels that it was illegally attacked, they have the right to self-defense up to and including returning or retaliating the same level with the same level of violence. So we are in a state right now where we shouldn't be comfortable. That's my point. We shouldn't be comfortable at all. Every person in the United States of America needs to understand and feel the reality of war. Because the president of the United States has been permitted to do whatever the heck he wants to do. And they're all, you know, cowering in the corners, unwilling or unable to challenge him on this in behalf of the people. We have no protections whatsoever. They're busy dealing with their personal issues. But the people are at risk as a result of the actions of the president. So this is a major constitutional crisis we're in, but we are in a state of war. And I'm frantic about it. I don't want us to be, to go mad about it, but it is a serious situation. And we shouldn't be calm at all. We should be demanding from Nancy Pelosi, what the hell are you doing, you and your Democrats? We should be demanding the same answers from the Republicans. This is your guy. This is what he has done to your Constitution that you so love. He has put us in a very bad situation. And it could get progressively worse real fast. As I said yesterday, the odd thing is we have Vladimir Putin to thank for exercising extraordinary restraint. Because as a supporter of the Assad regime, and having made a pledge to continue to support Assad, Russia very easily could have responded in behalf of Assad by countering the military action of the United States, and boom, what would we have? World War III. The thing that saved us the whole world was not just the so-called power of the U.S. military. The U.S. military has power, yes. But I would guarantee you that it is overrated in the context of a global reaction. People are fed up of the United States running roughshod over the rule of law, international law, and doing this kind of crazy stuff. Obama did it. Now we have Trump doing it. And imperiling the whole world. These knuckleheads do these kinds of things to kind of make themselves feel powerful. But in the meantime, the ramifications of what they're doing are so huge. I don't think Americans even understand how close we came to a world war a couple of days ago. And it was, in my view, it was only because Putin decided not to take the bait, decided not to activate his military forces. It was only because of that we didn't have a full-scale apocalypse going on today. I'm speaking my mind here. This is the kind of craziness that we have. Somebody so out of control that these consequences don't even matter. What matters is his very fragile ego. And we have at the international level now, because he's dragged France into this and he's dragged Britain into this, to say, look, I'm not doing this on my own. I have company. Well, you're all wrong. That's the point. You are all wrong. Britain has seen the reactions, some of the reactions in terms of terrorist attacks. France certainly has already seen reactions in terms of terrorist attacks for its conduct in other countries. Now the United States is firmly wrapped up with them, and we have three countries that are behaving like renegade operations and expect that there will be no reaction. I tell you, I think Americans really need to appreciate how close this thing came to an all-out war. And the only reason that we are not now in some kind of a bunker or trying to figure out where we can run to for safety, the only reason that we are still, quote, normal is because somebody's brain was working and said, let's deal with this in a different way. We are not going to respond to this, because that's partly what this was, the raiding of into Syria and the airstrikes. It was also a part, the main thing was to trigger exactly this. And he said, no, we'll solve this, but not now and not this way. That's what saved the entire world on Friday from a major, major war. Thanks a lot, Jay, for your call. Hector from New York, you're on the air. Hector,
hi,
are you there?
Hi, yes. Yes, good. Hi, how are you? Okay, I feel your passion. By the way, the show yesterday was fantastic. Yes, this is very important here. But listen, what I've been noticing, the answer part of the answer might lie with those whistleblowers. There's whistleblowers coming out left and right. That would be a start right there. Edward Snowden, and there's a guy from the CIA that used to be in the CIA. His name is Kevin Shipp. Yeah, with two P's. Go to the YouTube if you haven't heard him and punch his name in there. He's on the – that would be one way. The other way, the other thing that we would need is enforcement. I used to be – back 10 years ago, I used to be part of a group called the Restore America Plan. We used to meet and we would we were taking steps to talk with the higher-ups in the military. Without enforcement, without backing, we have nothing. Because they're the one with the guns. But you go and you turn that around, and we with the whistleblowers, with their evidence of what these people have done, and with the backing of our own military, turning it around and backing up the people instead of these flying monkeys, the result will be that we would be able to flush these people down the toilet forever. And that thing about left and right, the Democrat and Republican, Republicans, forget about that. That doesn't exist. It is there as a veil. It's false. That is false. That left-right thing, when you buy into saying, oh, but the Democrats might, they're all on the same team. They're all on the same team, and it is... It's not a cabal. It's a syndicate. Excuse my stuttering. I get very passionate about this. I've been studying this for a long time, and yes, it is bad. It is this is what that the other day was close. You're right. Most people don't realize we would have probably gone into World War III. Based on what? A false flag operation. If you read non-mainstream media sources, you will find that bombing with Assad, bombing his own people, that was a false flag operation. Standard operating procedure. Business as usual. They're trying to go and start, you know, a war now. And they'll do, I mean, we have a track record. Let's look at the track record of what since the Kennedys, that false flag operations. When you want to get something done, you want nobody, you create a false flag operation. I guess I got that out.
Do you believe, although it is, you know, being downplayed to the hilt, but do you believe that the actions of the United States, Britain, and France on Friday brought us very, very close to war, to a full-scale world war?
Yes, that's what they want. Number one, they want to get rid of all the sovereignty, the Constitution. Now, but this goes far back. If you look deep enough online, you could actually see where it's terrible. I mean, with the satanic rituals and the child.
That takes us into a whole different territory. How do these three nations, the United States, Britain, and France, what was the intention, you think, not only in them coming together, but in them refusing to observe the rule of law within their own respective countries about how wars are to be fought? I mean, their rules of war. They said nothing. Yeah. In fact, with regard to the United States, not even the ambassador to the United Nations knew anything after it was done. So there was intention here to basically form a I should say, an emerging group within the international community that would say, we don't have to obey international laws. We determined that we have reason and we are on the right side to do these airstrikes. And what we decided to do is to just go ahead and do it. We'll reap the repercussions afterwards. But in the meantime, we would have accomplished the chief objective, which was to conduct these airstrikes. That was the main thing, to send a message to Bashar al-Assad that he's right. not safe. You know, that this coalition came about as a direct response to the backing he has from Russia, the military backing that he has from Russia.
Yeah, what I would say to that simply is that there are obviously two sets of rules. There's rules for them, Clinton and the people and the big list of all of the ones that are doing these criminals, including Hillary. And there's a set of rules for us. That's it. Until we change it and flush these people away, it's not going to change. Everybody wants to continue watching Dancing with the Stars and American Idol and looking at the shiny lights. That's my problem. No, I can't talk to this about anybody. That's why when I heard you yesterday on the show, my God, there it is. There's somebody, there's an American that's asking the question, what can we do? Yes. Start with those whistleblowers. Because they're the ones that are exposing it, and everybody's just looking away. Maybe I'm on the wrong track.
We still have to persevere. And I thank you very much, Hector, for persevering today and calling back. Thank you so much for being with us today. I was looking for one person who has not yet shown up, and that's David from Brooklyn. He got cut off yesterday for some reason. He was well on his way to laying his thoughts out. Haven't heard from him today, so I'm a bit concerned. Hopefully he's all right. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hello, Eutrice.
Hello. What do you think of the situation that we're in?
Yeah, it's really makes me wonder about a lot of things, but I was going to ask how you are feeling, because I think you're getting a little too emotionally involved in this, because this is just same thing that's been going on since who knows when, the beginning of time. But, I mean, Obama did the same thing.
I'm concerned about this particular event because, one, it just happened, and two, it is so egregious. And three, there is virtually nothing but silence about it now, and it's 6 days. And I am saying that we came real close to an all-out, full-fledged war, and people don't seem to recognize that.
I understand that, but doesn't it make you wonder why Russia is allowing us to use their spacecraft to get up to the International Space Station? If they were so mad at us for bombing Syria, why wouldn't they say, well, now we won't let you use this spaceship to go up to the space station anymore? Seems that we're partners with Russia, and we go take turns playing good cop, bad cop. When they are attacking Georgia over there by Russia, then we come to their aid. We say, oh, you're not supposed to be doing that. And then when we're attacking Syria, we're the bad cops, and then the Russians are the good cops, and they're telling us not to do that. And it's just a game they're playing with our heads. And the last caller talked about Kevin Shipp. He does a show on PRN. And there's many shows on PRN that deal with that child abuse and things that are going on, such as the show on Monday called Focus on the Facts. It comes on at 5 to 6 with Evelyn Pringle. Almost every week she talks about the child abuse. And the last week's show, she talked about Hillary Clinton and Uma Abedin murdering a 9-year-old girl First, they take the skin off her face and put it on their face so they can terrorize the child, and then they consume it. It's this,
but
this
but
thing
let's
that
get to the
on.
Point of what we're talking about here.
The point is...
We're talking that, about the fact that the United States, along with Britain, along with France, invaded a country on Friday, struck several areas on the contention that these areas were principally responsible for the production of chemical weapons that Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, was using and has used to attack those regions and people in those regions or in the particular areas that are against his regime. And afterwards, it was announced that it's done. It's been done. The attacks were not known beforehand to Congress, not known to the United Nations, the body that they all agree should be the arbiter of this kind of action. And 6 days in, we haven't heard anything. It's a done deal. Move on.
We talk about poison gas that Assad did to his people. We have our own citizens here in the United States voluntarily asking people to come to their house and spray all around their house with poison, all up and down and inside and out. And I can't get my neighbor.
That means we've got to go. We've got to go. That's on you. Thank you so much for listening and contributing your thoughts today. I really appreciate it. See you tomorrow. Bye.